These are the people at the heart of racing. Their lives, their stories, in their own words.
Yeah, racing. I mean, that's where it started, Michael. That's really the beginning. That's where it burned as a kid.
We'll talk about the champion, Black Caviar.
Black Caviar was a freak. So was the trainer.
No, the first Melbourne Cup I was involved with was a horse called Gadam Gadam.
Gadam Gadam.
I was listening to an RFN interview with John Hawkes, and he said, I think it's a really average guineas this year.
This is a very sad story, but making sure that, you know, that his head was upright.
See TJ Smith or Bart Cummings in the background, and you're just in awe.
Follow a lot of sports, but the sport I follow most closely will be horse racing.
For the next hour, RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents Racing's Open Mic.
And it's great to have live in the studio a man who took last year's Spring Carnival by storm, internationally acclaimed superstar jockey Pat Cosgrave, and last year's Caulfield Cup winning jockey joins me in the studio. Pat, great to see you, mate.
Yeah, good to be back.
How are you? 12 months on. Does it seem 12 months ago since you were here dominating the Spring Carnival?
Oh, no. It goes quick, doesn't it? Mm. But it's good to be back. I say I was probably going to be a bit tough to repeat sort of last year's sort of week I had, but look, we're back to give it another go.
The lifestyle that you lead is one of an international jet-setting jockey. Just for the listeners out there, can you give a snapshot of what your life is and how your year plays out?
Yeah, well, I sort of spend sort of 6 months in Dubai now every sort of, which is our winter, going back there in about 10 days' time for sort of for my sort of winter sprint stint in the UAE. And then sort of from there, I'll go back to the UK for our summer, where most of the sort of top racing sort of, you know, is on. And yeah, and then sort of, I've seen him lucky enough to sort of the last few years been heading out here for a month or so. So yeah, pretty busy. A lot of travelling, but it's good fun.
And you've got a young family as well, a little 18-month-old girl, Florence. Has that changed your perspective or the way you view things with your work-life balance?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it definitely does. You know, if you have a bad day at the races, you come home, you know, it sort of forget about it fairly quick. But yeah, but it's still sort of, it's the thing about racing, you've got to keep going. If you don't do it, someone else will do it, and then you get pushed aside a little bit. So you've got to sort of try and, as you say, find a fine balance between, you know, working hard enough to keep everyone happy, but also sort of keeping your family happy as well. So it's a fine line, but as I say, you know, I wouldn't have it another way.
It was an amazing ride for you last year. We'll play the finish of last year's Caulfield Cup, and then I want to get your reaction as to not just what it was like in the moments after you won that, but how it was received when you went back home and around the world. This was Pat winning last year's Caulfield Cup.
Best Solution at the 200 metres. Holmesman grinding it down. The Cliffs of Moher running on. Best Solution a neck in front of Holmesman. Best Solution just Holmesman stretching every sinew. Photo, Best Solution's won it. Best Solution beats Holmesman. The Cliffs of Moher.
It was a tight finish. A beautiful ride on Best Solution. 12 months on, how do you look back on that victory?
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good week, actually, I said. I won at two big winners in the space of seven days. It was great. But as I say, sort of racing doesn't stop. You got to keep going. Yeah, sort of, I find myself sort of, you know, once the big day is over, the next day you're looking for the next one. You know, most jockeys are greedy like that. But, you know, it's sort of what we sort of work every morning for and work hard for and travel around the world to do. You know, it's a great feeling, and you know, when it comes off, it's the hard work. It's worth it. You know,
that's the life of the ultimate professional. But do you take the time just to reflect every now and then and go, you know what, that was a pretty good achievement? Or as you say, you're so focused, so driven, you're not looking behind you. You're always looking forward.
Yeah, I think I sort of, I spent that night sort of enjoying it, and maybe the next day as well. But after that, you got to get back to get back focused, and you know, you've got to say, you got to get, you got to look forward. And I think, as I say, any good jockey, that's what they do. They sort of, they say we get greedy, and you know. So I look at, I'm gonna have another go at it this year. Hopefully, as I say, it's probably going to be hard to top off last year, but we'll give it a go.
You see where you sit now as one of the top international jockeys, where it all started for you, mucking around at Pony Club. Can you believe where you are right now?
No, I probably not. You know, it's sometimes a bit surreal the way we live, but I don't know, probably when I was probably younger, I probably thought I would probably get to where I am, but you're not really sort of... It gets tougher as you realise that racing's a tough sport. You have a lot of knocks and, you know, a lot of bad days more than good, you know. So you soon realise you have to learn to appreciate it at the same time, because it's hard to get to where I am, you know. It's a lot of sacrificing and travelling, and a lot of not eating some days is the hard part too.
Well, how is your weight? Are you a natural lightweight, or do you have to work hard at it?
I'm pretty good. Like, I do sort of 55, you know, regularly. I know I wake up sort of 57. You know, I'm lucky enough. I'm sort of in between. I'm not a real light rider, but I have to watch it sort of, you know, to a certain extent. But I see a lot of other guys struggle a lot more than I do.
Is it tough when you come to Melbourne? Because you're fairly social when you come here, aren't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to guess what weight I am at the moment, but I've got to say, I'm going to have light on the weekend, but I'll get a few days focused and get stuck in and get it down.
Now, unfortunately, we don't get to see Best Solution or Ben Battle back for this Spring Carnival, who were the two stars that you had Group 1 glory with last year. And the Godolphin Galloper, it's unlikely you're going to get to ride in the Melbourne Cup, but you're going to pick up another one. Just overall, without picking out individual horses, how strong do you think the internationals are that have come over to Melbourne this spring compared to what we've seen in previous spring carnivals?
Regarding the horse I rode last year, in the Best Solution, it was, you know, he was just the sort of horse that just improved year on year. And then obviously Ben Battle, I think Ben Battle's probably one of the better horse I've actually ever ridden. He actually improved again. He hadn't ran for a long time after here. And he had a comeback run about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and he was mightily impressive. He's now rated 126 or something. So he's nearly one of the highest rated horses in the world at the moment. So, you know, as I say...
And why didn't we see him come back? Was it because he had a little bit of an interrupted preparation?
Yeah, he had a lot of time off, and then they've decided to keep him for the QE2 on Champions Day back in Ascot. You know, which he looks like he's going to go off favour for, it's quite wet there at the moment. He'll enjoy the soft ground, so that's why I think they've decided to keep him there. And then obviously Best Solution, he was retired. He'd sustained an injury and he's finished. But regarding the international this year, probably aren't as strong as they were. Obviously, Cross Country's back for the Melbourne Cup. Charlie's actually got two really nice horses in Espellini. He's quite a improving stare as well. Aiden maybe's got a few, but I don't think it's quite as strong as last year. But I still think they'll play a part somewhere along the line.
Well, Red Galileo doesn't look like he's going to make it into the Caulfield Cup field, and he would have been your ride. We're going to have a chat to Robin Trevor Jones, because I know you're hopeful of picking up the ride on Red Verdon instead. But how strong do you think that Ebor form is?
I think the Ebor form is always sort of a pretty good guide. It all depends, obviously, what weights they get when they come here. As I say, I thought Red Gallo would have had to be at his personal best if he got in till you know, being the shake-up, I think. So look, hopefully he's going to run in the Geelong Cup, which will probably suit him better, and go from there. Look, he's a older staying horse. That sort of, we sort of thought he was a slower horse than we first thought, and so we were riding real forward, making the running on him, and then we changed tactics this year, and he's sort of come forward again, you know. So on his best day, he could have ran a nice race. They said the Ebor form, it'll be interesting to see how Mustard Year runs. You know, he won quite well that day. And he's a bit of an unknown, but it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
There's been a lot of talk about the depth of our horses here in Australia, and we saw Cape of Good Hope win at his first start. Now, you had a ride in that race as well, and probably on paper, on face value, what did you make of the run of Dreamcastle on Saturday?
Look, he was a bit disappointing, but as I say, I thought the ground was a bit firm for him, and I was drawn out in 10, and he got posted 3 wide, no cover, and he's the sort of horse that needs to be following something through down into the straight. All his races he won in the UAE, his performances were pretty good. He got halfway back and he followed horse down into the straight. So I think I have to put a line through it. I think he's much better than that. Hopefully he gets into the Cox Plate, and hopefully he gets a better draw and a better trip round. And you'll might see a different horse.
How good do you think those two are, Dreamcastle, Cape of Good Hope, compared to the ones that we're going to see line up in a Cox Plate or in a Melbourne Cup? Were they what we are calling maybe the B graders compared to the A graders that we'll see a little later of the internationals?
Maybe, yeah. I think the Cox Plate is going to be a really, really good race, especially with there's going to be a full field this year. It's going to be an interesting race. David Menuzia's horse, who didn't get a run in on Saturday, he was scratched late on. He's an interesting horse, but he gets back in his races, and I think the track is going to be, it's hard for him to come from way back. I think he'll get toward, especially with the full field, he's probably going to get back to near the tail end of it. And then obviously, look, as I say, I think it's going to be an interesting race. I think it'll be a better race than last Saturday's. Hopefully we get a nice draw and get in and see how it goes.
The internationals, a lot of them are tipping to make a clean sweep of our spring because our open weight for age gallopers may not be as good as what we've seen in recent years. There's no Winks, that's for sure. So it's an opportune time for the internationals this carnival, isn't it?
Yeah, as I said, definitely, but no Winks, and obviously no... everyone was sort of running scared of her last year, but it's probably not as strong a division, but still, it's hard to come all the way here, I know it happened last year a bit, but I think it's going to be tougher this year for them.
What's it like working for the Empire Godolphin? Is it stressful? Do you feel the pressure, or is it so magnificently run that it makes life a bit easier?
I know, It's for me, it's pretty easy. Getting up in the morning riding good horses is easy. Riding bad horses is a bit more of a struggle. Riding good horses is easy, in my opinion. Getting on them is the hard part. Working for Godolphin is brilliant. I'm looked after really well. If I've got to travel, I know they look after me really well, put me up in nice places, and everything's sorted. So my job is pretty easy. Just rock up, have me bring my A game and try and get the job done. I say Reading good horses is pretty easy. So I really, really enjoy it.
You spent a couple of years with Aidan O'Brien as well. What was that like?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was hard work. He's a genius. I was probably a bit young to appreciate it back then, how good he was. I wouldn't mind going back one day and have another go at it, I was a bit too young and didn't really appreciate it enough when I was there to actually realise, it's the same as get off another military-run operation. It's every box is ticked, and there's nothing, no stone unturned. Aidan himself is just a very,
What's he focused. Like as an individual, a character? When you're with him at track work, or when you're just talking about horses around the stable, what's he like?
Aidan?
Yeah.
Racing and race horses is just his whole life, really. He's just really focused, and as I say, there's nothing left to take to chance, but he's an absolute gentleman, he's he was a lovely guy to work for.
You've got to ride for some of the best trainers around the world. Where would you place Aidan? His results say he's a genius.
Yeah, God. I think he's got to be probably one of the best trainers ever that was ever born. He's still very young. He's not even 50 yet. I don't think he's like 48 or 49. And the amount he's achieved already, you know, he's broke records already, and he's probably only halfway through his lifetime of training. Probably hadn't even got halfway to. And you know, so yeah, what he's achieved and what he's going to achieve is crazy. You know, as I say, and I he's probably one of the best trainers there's ever been. Yeah.
Paddy Cosgrave's my in-studio special guest. We'll talk more about... I want to get your thoughts on Enable, Frankie Dettori, the year that we've seen in European racing, which has been absolutely phenomenal. But we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to find out if you've got a ride in the Caulfield Cup. We'll have a chat to Robin Trevor Jones to see if he'll be on Red Vernon on Saturday.
This is RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Open Mic.
Back to Racing Pulse. Bit of news which is just coming through via Twitter. Racing Victoria stewards have just tweeted that Torcedor is out for the spring. The connections have decided to spell Torcedor, and he will not contest the Melbourne Cup. One stage he was the favourite for the Melbourne Cup in early betting. So Torcedor is out for the spring. And Andrew Bensley has just tweeted that Flit, the three-year-old filly who won the 1,000 guineas, will not go to the Cox Plate. She will run again. It'll be in the Wakeful next, and at this stage, the Oaks is not on the agenda. So Flit, one of the three-year-olds, out of the Cox Plate. The logjam there, it would have been hard, I think, for her to get a start in the Cox Plate anyway. So she is heading towards the Wakeful over 2,000 metres. Time now to have a chat to one of our great mates at RSN 927. Robin Trevor Jones has been coming out to the Melbourne Cup for a number of years now, and he is back again for Ed Dunlop. And he's also a good mate of Pat Cosgrave as well. Great to see you, Robin. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Thank you very much indeed.
Welcome back to Melbourne. When did you arrive?
Well, we've just finished quarantine. We've got an extra 3 days because the Japanese came in a bit late. So we've been here 2 weeks and 3 days.
2 weeks and 3 days. And it's just like home away from home for you, isn't it?
I've been here a lot of times now. I know a lot of people in Werribee. And yeah, it's everything works well here.
We've got Pat Cosgrave in the studio as well. Is Robin the ringleader of the international band down at Werribee? Is he one of the social advisors down there, Pat?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so, yeah. He's been coming here a long time and sort of he keeps getting results, so he's doing a good job.
How long have you crossed paths with Pat Cosgrave for, Robin?
Oh, I've known Pat for quite a lot of years. When he came up from Aidan O'Brien's, he came and rode out for us. And then he's made himself a very good career in England. He rides lots of winners. He rides very well. And Mr. Arcooley did this morning confirm that he would like Patsy to ride the horse in the Caulfield Cup.
That's great news, Pat.
Yeah, it's great. The only problem is I've got a few pounds to shed.
He's been lunching a fair bit, Robin.
Yeah, we'll soon stop that. His mate over here, Tom McLaughlin, who's riding Red Verdon out now, will soon make sure he doesn't eat too much.
So what's Red Verdon got in the cup on Saturday?
He's got 54 and a half.
Okay, what are you walking around at the moment, Pat?
I don't know, but it's definitely not 54 and a half anyway. because I say it's a $5 million race, so you've got to put a bit of work in.
So what will you do now? We're Tuesday. What have you got to lose, do you think, 2-3 kilos?
Yeah, probably got... probably 2.5 kilos, yeah.
Okay, so
it's early. It's only Tuesday, and I say I've been enjoying myself, so it'll come off pretty easy, I think.
I was going to say, so how easy is it for you? You'd know your body so well in regards to getting weight off. What will you do? What's the process?
Look, 54.5 probably is my lightest. But look, I'll just, you know, as I say, I'll just get the head down now from tomorrow onwards. Sort of give myself 3 or 4 days to take it off gradually, because, you know, eat properly, no alcohol, and go to the gym, you know, regularly. And then maybe on race day, you know, have to jump in the bath for a bit and take off the last bit, you know.
But, are you a runner?
Yeah, I go in the gym here. You know, in the UK, I wouldn't do much sort of gym work because it's, I don't have time. Just driving around the country, it's tough doing it. But here in Dubai, I go to the gym regularly and you know, because I have plenty of time to do things like that, you know. So, yeah, look, as I say, it's not going to be easy to get down, but as I say, it's a huge race and a lot of prize money on offer, and I'm looking forward to riding the horse.
Have you ridden Red Verdon before?
No, but I've watched him plenty. You know, he's not a bad horse. He won a nice race early on in the summer in York. And he beat some nice horses that day. So, I think he's got a squeak off his weight.
Robin, we've seen the paper today. There was a little bit of a scare in the camp last week, and we remember what happened last year. How is he, Red Verdon?
He's pulled up great after a gallop this morning. He's jogged up. The videos have been taken. They've been sent to all the relevant places, including the Racing Victoria stewards and vets. We're very happy with him. He's pulled up good. Tom, as I said, who rides him all the time, was very happy with his work. He said he felt absolutely brilliant. Obviously, we haven't killed him. There's no prize money at the end of the Werribee track, but there is on Saturday.
So what was the issue towards the end of last week?
To be honest, we had him. He was lame for a trot-up with the Racing Victoria vets. Then our vets investigated. They couldn't find really anything properly wrong with him. He must have knocked himself or done something like that for the simple reason he's got better and better every day. Even the Sunday, the Saturday, he trotted bad on the Friday. So the Saturday, he was a lot better than he was on the Friday. By the Saturday night, he was completely sound. He trotted up Sunday morning completely sound. So he was ridden out and cantered. After he called out cantering, he was trotted up again, completely sound. I'm not going to keep boring you with how many times we've trotted him, because we've trotted him a lot. And he's pleased me every time he's jogged now.
Oh, well, that is good. And, of course, there'll be another vet test for every runner in the Caulfield Cup with the stewards after the final field is declared. Two starts ago, he was a good winner of the Silver Cup. He beats Gold Mount, who's out here as well, and Raheen House. The E-ball run, what do you make of his run in the E-ball?
Look, we were disappointed, but I think we ruined the race by giving the wrong orders. There was two horses in the race that were confirmed front runners. We thought they were going to jump off and go hell for leather, so we gave the jockey probably the wrong orders, told him to take his time, sit out the back and wait for the field to come back to him. And unfortunately, they didn't go the gallop we expected. The two horses that were meant to go on didn't go on, thinking both of them were going to do it. And unfortunately, it ruined the race for a lot of the nice horses.
So you think he's a better horse than what we saw, because he finished 14th behind Mustagee?
Yes. Well, definitely so. Look, the horse he beat in the Silver Cup, they made favourite for the race, Mr. Haggis's. They made him favourite. So we thought we'd got every chance in the race, but unfortunately, things didn't unfold that way. And we were disappointed, yes.
Can you beat Mustagee on Saturday?
Ah, flipping heck. He looks a good horse. And there's a few other ones in there. It's going to be a good race. We've got a good jockey on board who I'm very happy with, who knows the English style of how English horses run. He's watched Red Verdon enough. He's a very strong jockey as well. He won't be lacking in that. Hopefully there will be a gallop in the race. There might not be. Looking into it, there's not that much speed. But that's why we've employed Patsy Cosgrove to do what he thinks at the right time in the race. It's very easy giving jockeys strict instructions, but you cannot do that, especially in a race like it was last year, where there was no pace in it. Patsy used his head. He was gone from a bad draw, took a great position and won the race.
How do you think the strength of the internationals compares to in recent years? You've been down at Werribee for a couple of weeks now. Overall, is this a strong group of internationals?
The group that's just come in are all very, very good stayers. The horses come in the batch that I came in, you'd be very scared of some of those stayers that are running in the Melbourne Cup that are down in New Minster at the moment doing their quarantine.
Mm. Outside of your boy, who do you think's one that's taken your eye?
For Caulfield or for
well, might as well give us both.
Well, for long term, you know, Cross Counter's got in with a nice weight again. But I know the other horse of Charlie's, can't remember its name off the top of my head. I know they like that a lot as well.
Ispolini?
Those two would be very dangerous. Obviously, you've got the English E-ball winner, and also we've got the Australians. You've got Finch in there as well, who looked very good at a mile and a quarter the other day, finishing very strongly. So, you know, this is a tough race as well.
Pat, we were just talking before, and you actually said that you think the stablemate to Cross Counter, Ispolini, is going to be one of the hardest to beat.
Yeah, I say if I had a choice, I know the Cross Counter won it last year, but he was in off a real low weight. You know, obviously he's got more to play. He's gone back to where he won his, you know, had his finest hour. But I really like Ispolini. I think off 55, he's a real improving stayer, and I think it's going to be a tough call for William to make. I'm sure he'll stay with Cross Counter, but I'm sure it's not going to be easy for him to, you know.
Where are you placed for a Melbourne Cup ride as we sit here?
Look, as I say, I was obviously with Ray Gallagher, but he's going to struggle to get into, unless he wins in the Geelong Cup. He's not going to get into the Melbourne Cup, and even if he did, he wouldn't have my weight. But as I say, if he happened to win in next Wednesday, you know, he'll probably get more weight, so he might get in. And but look, at the moment, I'm struggling for Red in the Melbourne Cup at the moment.
Hey, Robin, for you, you've had so much heartbreak out here with the Red Cadeau days, and then last year missing a run. If Red Verdon could pull off a memorable victory on Saturday, what would it be like for yourself, Ed, and the whole team, the owner especially?
I think it's either five, six or seven seconds we've had in Australia in Grade 1s. So to have that first Grade 1 winner would be absolutely fantastic. Well, more than fantastic. It would be a dream, but there we go. We've got to do it. We've had the seconds. We know the horses are pretty much right, but it's just getting that final placing.
Just got a message from Terry Henderson. Have you had an issue with your phone bill?
Yeah, I think Vodafone customers worldwide they made a bit of a botch up yesterday. I had a phone bill for £7,500, which was rather worrying.
Does that go back to the boss?
No, that was my personal phone, to be honest, so it doesn't, no. But it's all been cleared. I spoke to Vodafone yesterday. It's an internal error, and everything's been sorted out.
Well, I told them
there'll be compensation of at least 40 cigarettes, though.
Oh, that is good to hear. Robin, great to see you back in Australia. Good to hear that Red Verdon is 100% fit, and looking forward to seeing him in the Caulfield Cup on Saturday with Paddy on board.
Thank you very much indeed.
Any instructions you want to give him now?
I don't need to give Paddy instructions. He can ride.
If you could draw a barrier, what would it be?
Well, we're not going to let Paddy draw it, definitely, after the error he made last year, and it must have been his fault. Now, look, I should say perhaps he would rather be in sort of 6 to 8 or 9, which gives him options.
Is that where you'd like?
Be on the wide outside.
I thought, you know, 5, 6, 7 would be where I'd like to be. Hopefully, I don't get like last year, 17. You know, but it worked out fine in the end. But yeah, look, you know, someone's got to be drawn out and someone's got to be drawn in. But ideally, sort of, I thought 5, 6, 7 would be nice for me.
Good on you, Robin. We'll see you throughout the week.
Well, we're going to get Andrew Gemmell to pick the barrier for us.
Oh, brilliant.
His owner. I'll be over there with him. So let's hope we can get the right number for Patsy.
Oh, that'll be brilliant. Good on you, Robin. Andrew Gemmell, who we know so well out here, who loves the Melbourne Carnival. Of course, he was born blind and he doesn't miss it each and every year. Where do you think Red Verdon would map in a Caulfield Cup? Has he got speed to be up towards the pace? Where would you like to be in a run?
Look, obviously, we've got to see where we get drawn. You've got to see, you know, how fast they go. Look, I see he ran the race last year, didn't he? And he got a bit far back, and it was sort of a silly race early on. You know, and he was travelling good at the 600, and he had nowhere really to go, probably a few. So I think that they're likely ridden a bit more closer to the pace this year. As you obviously got to see where we're drawn, and for me, I'd like to sort of just sit 2 or 3 lengths back.
Talking about the spring or the season that you've just had back home in Europe, the features, Frankie Dettori has been making the headlines worldwide. What do you say about Frankie?
Oh, he's unbelievable, isn't he? He's getting better. He's I think he's 49 in December. Mm. I actually spoke to him yesterday. Him and John Gosden seem to really work well together. You know, and he's just a really, really good rider. You know, he just he's a bit lucky as well. You know, he's one of these guys, everything falls right for him, you know. But, you know, every year he seems to find a superstar to ride, and look, it's great. He's great for racing, especially, you know, people love him, you know, and a lot of people go racing just to see him, you know, ride and win on superstars, you know. I think it'll be a sad day when he retires, you know, because he's just Mr. Racing, isn't he? They all love him.
Are you good mates, or is there competitive tension?
I know, he's brilliant. You know, obviously in the big days, he doesn't go race much now. Other than the big days, you know, he's got a sort of a second jockey for John Godson called Robert Havlin. Me and him are good mates, and Frankie as well. You know, so he doesn't go the Monday to Wednesday race, and he only goes on the weekends when he has to. You know, but like as I say, no, he's brilliant to ride with. You know, he's a very good human being as well as a jockey. As I say, why he does so well.
We talk about the lifestyles. What's the superstar lifestyle of Frankie Dettori like?
Yeah, it's a bit better. He's just, I don't want to say too much, but I said to him, he's like Benjamin Button. He's getting younger, I think, than older, you know. He just loves it. He loves the big days, and he loves, you know, enjoying himself. He plays hard, but he works hard too.
Yeah, he knows how to celebrate a good win.
For sure. There's no problem there, you know. Yeah, he's good fun.
Is the tradition still occurring where if you win your big Group 1, especially over at Royal Ascot, you buy the crate of champagne and so forth in the jockey's room?
Yeah, Frankie, Ryan doesn't do that. You know, Ryan Moore doesn't buy much because he doesn't drink really, Ryan. He's very, very focused. But as I say, when Frankie wins, there's no problem. He splashes out, gets on with it.
So what do you get? What does he buy?
Our valet, they've already bought the champagne because someone's going to, you know what I mean? So it's just a case who's paying for it. You know? So it's good fun, you know. Don't start too early.
Yeah, I could imagine. Now, you spoke to Frankie yesterday. He's coming out to Australia this year. I think Lloyd's already penciled him in for a ride in the Melbourne Cup, which will be great.
Yeah, one of Joseph's, yeah. Mm. I spoke to him yesterday, but he's going to the British Cup first. You know, he's busy elsewhere, but he's flying out to ride his horse. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. He's probably quite a good horse.
Which one's he on?
He's on a horse called Master of Reality.
Master of Reality, right, okay. Yeah. I think that's been confirmed. If not, thank you. Yeah. Lloyd will let us know.
I spoke to him yesterday. I hope that's the horse he's booked to ride.
How did he deal with the Naples defeat in the Arc?
Oh, look, I didn't speak too much about it. I think he was heartbroken. Mm. You know, like, it was just circumstances. She was probably, you know, we all know how good she was, but the ground was horrible, and, you know, they went hard, and, he just got outstayed, really. You know, the winner's a very good horse, but I think on another day, on a better condition, she would have won.
Mm.
You know, it's some force, because everyone was... You know, it's never been done before, and it'll be a while if Phillies Lacour and Trev can't do it. You know, it's gonna be a while before it's ever done, I suppose. But look, I didn't speak too much about it because I don't think you'd want to speak about it, really. You know, I'd say he was sort of a bit heartbroken about it. But I say if I was in that position, I wouldn't want people to ask me too many questions about it. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have asked him, and he'd be like, you know, he sucks it up, I suppose. But
he gave you the perfect ride.
Yeah, you know, there was no excuse, really. You know, it just got outstayed, really, and it was just a bit unfortunate. But that's why, you know, it's nothing certain racing, I suppose, and that's why other people turned up to take her on. As I say, I listened to one of John Gosden's interviews, and he said, as I expected, it could happen. So I wasn't shocked, and I wasn't. I'm not upset about it because I could see it happening.
Have you had much to do with John Gosden? Because he comes across as the most eloquent spoken trainer and a genius himself.
No, I meet him regularly and, you know, say hello to him and stuff. But I don't ride much from him. I've had a few rides with him, but he's got a good crew of jockeys. Got obviously Frankie and another guy called Robert Havlin who rides for him, and you know, then he's got a lot of horses for Sheikh Hamdam, who Jim Crowley rides, and you know, he's got a few owners that are retained jockeys. So I don't ride much for him, but the guy clearly you know, he's a genius, obviously. You know, he year on year, he just keeps turning up with these really good horses. You know, he's got another horse, another really good 3-year-old who won the Ledger this year, owned by also by Jubmont. So he looks an exciting horse. Well, he's by Frankel. So look, as I say, he's just like the, you know, like another Aidan O'Brien, and you know, a genius. You know, and he's just in, which is great, because if John wasn't like John Gosden and other big trainers, it would get boring just watching Aidan win everything. You know, and look, as I say, he's an exceptional trainer and a gentleman to speak to.
Talking about superstars, who do you think's the best horse you've seen?
Ever. I think it's been the last 3 or 4 years been really good for racing. You know, between obviously Enable, Frankel. You know, Frankel was probably 5 or 6 years ago. He was, and then obviously you've got your Supermare Winks. You know, as I say, that it's been a really good sort of steady like flow of superstars the last sort of, as I say, 6 or 8 years. And I don't know. I suppose Frankel was, God, he was. The only thing we never seen before, he didn't travel anywhere. He didn't go outside Europe. I suppose a little bit like Winks, you know, where Enable, she won in, you know, in England, she went to France, she went to America, you know, she never won by very far, and she didn't, but she always got the job done, really. But I've got to say it's probably Frankel.
Did you get to see him up close? Did you ride in any of his races?
Frankel, I rode in a couple of races. It was, but I didn't see him for long. He was gone. No, I like when he won the Guineas. The people didn't know how good he was when he won the Guineas, and he was gone. He was 15 lengths clear, and people were like, "Oh, what's he doing? He's Tom Quigley's lost the plot. He's gone flat out." Like, and his fractions were like sprinting, sprinting speeds. But and he was all over halfway the race, you know. And to win a Guineas the way he did like that, and a couple of times he didn't look as impressive, but you know. God, he was the way he won, and he was never beaten. I don't think.
No, undefeated.
Yeah, you know.
Do you think Winks would be in that conversation though?
Oh yeah, for sure. God, she was. You know, as I say, Ben Battlin, I was rated 126 and probably one of the best horses I've ever ridden, and she destroyed him last year. You know, obviously he gave her a little bit of race, but like she was never going to get beat from a long way down. You know, so. As I say, the way he is now, and the way she beat him, she's a superstar as well. As I say, it's very hard to sort of say, oh, this filly's better than this, sort of Enable and Winks and Franklin. You know, when he was around Galileo, like when he was racing, he was unbelievable as well. And so I think, as I say, there's a really good flow of like superstars over the last while, and it's hard to say which one was the best, but you know, from probably Northern Hemisphere Europeans, sort of Frankel was the best horse I've seen, and obviously here probably you definitely your best fit horse has been Winks. I think
you've ridden all around the world against the best jockeys, obviously Frankie, who we've spoken about, but who do you think are a couple of the best jockeys that you've competed against?
I think Ryan Moore is. Ryan's, he never hardly ever, you know, the thing about Frankie is on a Monday he's useless. He's just a waste of time. But when he gets a Saturday, he's like a different man. He's just focused. He turns up on the really big days all the time. Whereas Ryan, just, it's never any different from Monday to Saturday. Just, he's really focused and driven. You know, and
can you get a laugh out of him in the jockey's room?
Oh yeah, I get away with it. He's right. He's great. He's badly perceived by the public because he just looks like he's not enjoying himself. But he's got a dry sense of humour. He's good. He's good fun, and he's good to talk about. He's obsessed with sport. You know, and he's good fun, Ryan. But as I say, he doesn't square out, doesn't drink. He's sort of very focused on sitting home watching football and racing, and he's got a load of kids now as well to look after. But he's one of the, obviously Frankie's very good, and you know, you've got good jockeys here, you know. You've got Kieran and Hugh, and you know, I think he's turning to looks like it's going to be a really good jockey. Is Mark Zara? He's sort of taking off, isn't he? He did a really good dance on Saturday. There's loads of them. There's loads of really good jockeys here. But as I say, I ride a lot more with Lex Ryan and Frankie, and you know they're they're pretty good, as I say. But it's like trying to say who's the best jockey, as who's the best horse I've ever seen. You know, there's loads of you know obviously, like back years ago, the time with Lester Pigger was unbelievable. I never rode with him, but you know he won 9 derbies and stuff like that, which is crazy to sound like they do something like that to win 9 derbies. So you know, yeah, look, as I say, it's great to we at the moment we seem to have a lot of good superstar horses and also jockeys, so we need to enjoy it.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about Roy Meeting. He's an intriguing runner at Caulfield on Saturday. I think he goes around the Moonga. He's only had the 2 starts, 2 wins, but we haven't seen him since the 28th of October last year. What's been the issue? Because he looked like a star in his 2 starts.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to riding him because he's an unknown horse, really. He won a maiden first time up impressively. Then he went to France and won the Criterium, beating a filly called Hermosa, went on to win the Guineas, and you know, multiple group one winner. And he went to Dubai last year, and I rode him work, and he just seemed to have a little bit of a wind issue. And I said, look, you need to stop and fix this problem, because I find if you don't fix those problems early, horses start to get into their mental, and they underperform and they just go the wrong way. So they took the right decision to stop with him, try and fix the problem. You never quite know till he runs whether how well it's worked or what, you know, what's going to happen. But I think if he comes back to his potential that he showed as a 2-year-old, he could be anything, really. It could be quite exciting horse to go forward with. So it'll be interesting to see who runs on Saturday.
Yeah, 1400 metres first up. What's the reports ahead of Werribee? How's he going?
Yeah, the guys are really, really happy with him. You know, he's been working really well. Everything's going according to plan. First up, I think horse is going to get further. So, it's going to be tough to come back, travel across the world, and then you know start back up basically after having 12 months off. You know, he's going to have to perform pretty highly. But like I say, he's awesome, looking forward to ride because he's interesting, could be anything. So hopefully all goes well and we'll see a nice performance.
Pat, it's been great to catch up with you once again, mate. Back in Australia, I've got some good news too. Lloyd Williams has been listening to the chat and he sent me a little message saying that you should give him a call. He might have a cup ride for you, a Melbourne cup ride.
Yeah, brilliant.
Good on you, Pat. Good to see you in here, Paddy Cosgrove. Good luck on Red Verdon in the Caulfield Cup on Saturday. Enjoy your time out here as well. No lunches for the rest of the week, though.
No, thanks, lads.
Paddy Cosgrove, we'll send you home with an antler backpack as well. Pat, who is one of the best jockeys around the world. Fascinating to get his insights into some of the best horses that he's seen as well. We're going to take a break. It is 8 minutes to 10 o'clock on the other side.